Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. I got a great show for you today. I really do. And I say that, you know, I say that a lot. But this, I really mean from my heart. This is about the Jewish Film Festival that's going to be taking place at the Colonial. They're going to be doing some stuff there. But more importantly, they've been doing this for a long time. And I want to bring it to the community. And I'm going to say to them right now in front of all of you, I'm always here. All you have to do is contact me, and I will work things out, and you'll be on the show as long as I'm here. And most of you know I'm not a kid. Thanks for not mentioning that. But I'm going to go around. We'll start with the young lady. I'm old-fashioned. When I tell people chivalry is not that, it's just old, fat, and bald. I'll start with you. Please introduce yourselves.
So I'm Karin Sharav-Zalkind. I'm the executive director of Adam Theater, which is a new theater for young audiences that's being created in the Boston area. And this is my co-founder, Juan Bichor, who is the artistic director. And we are excited to bring Library Lion, which will show in September at the Boston Public Library, but we are starting our journey with the Colonial Theater August 17th with a reading of the play. And we'll be joined by a three-person lion-sized puppet that's been built and designed by the Jim Henson Company.
Wow. Wow. That is so cool. Now we'll go, David, if you would be so kind.
Sure. Bill, my name is David Winitsky. I am the founder and artistic director of the Jewish Plays Project, which is a New York-based national development house for what we like to call 21st century Jewish theater. And we are really, really thrilled to be partnering with the Berkshire Theater Group and to be presenting the Festival of New Jewish Plays at the Colonial from the 15th to the 17th.
I, David, I can't tell you how psyched up I am to go.
Right.
And I mean that. I'm a big, they'll tell you at the club, I'm a big supporter of the Colonial. Have you ever been inside the theater?
We've been lucky enough to be in there. It is gorgeous.
Stunning. I mean,
restored. Sometimes, this is awful to say, I lose track where, and I find myself gazing at all the beauty of the building. And, oh, I'm so happy that this is happening. Right. And Wayne.
Well, Bill, my name is Wayne Firestone. I'm the founder of Plays Together, which I founded before COVID, if anyone can remember back to those times in the Washington, D.C. area where I was living at the time, because I thought that people needed more exposure to theater and play scripts and not just to be in the audience, to sort of break the wall between the audience and the performers. And that's something we're going to do at this festival. I'm a co-producer with David and the Berkshire Theater Group for this Jewish Theater Festival. We're really excited, and we're not just to be in the theater, but to be exposing your community to plays, ideas, and even Muppet creatures of that Ron and Karin are bringing us, because we think at this moment people need a little, they need some comedy, they need some tragedy, they need some drama, they need everything that the theater can bring into our lives to enrich, to help us ask questions, and to do it with total strangers, not just their own clique or group of people, but to expose themselves to new people, new ideas, new stories, and that's what we're aiming to do.
I can't applaud you enough. The world is certainly a place that needs to laugh. I mean that from my heart. By now you realize I'm not normal, so I like to laugh a lot. I applaud you for doing this, and I think you're correct, if I may say so. In that, opening the Colonial to the people of Berkshire County, I want to tell you, you will start to build a reputation and they'll look forward to it every year. Yeah, I'll give you an example. They do Christmas Carol every year. Well, I think last year, COVID year, some year, I don't, can't remember. I don't remember where I parked the car. So, but they didn't do it. There was a hue and cry in the community. What do you mean? No Christmas Carol. What are you talking about? We've always done the Christmas Carol. So I think let's try to build that tradition here starting off this year, if you guys are up for it. And I'll do anything I can to help. How did this all Wayne, how did you, or David, I'm sorry, how did you get involved?
Yeah, this has been a whole lovely confluence of events that, you know, in our corner of the world, we would call beshert. Like, everything has just come together really beautifully. Wayne and I have been working together for a few years, both on his playwriting and on building the JPP nationally. And after 10-7, we were sort of talking about how we can, you know, connect with some other folks and particularly connect out with non-Jewish theaters and non-Jewish communities at a time that really that felt important. And Wayne had a mutual friend that was involved with the theater group and made an introduction to Kate McGuire, who right from the beginning, we said, hey, this is what we're thinking about. What do you think about doing a festival? And she said, absolutely, yes, this here now, right, needs to happen. And yes. And they really just rolled out the red carpet for us to make this happen. And then we were lucky enough to be introduced to Karen and Ron through like several different connections. Several people were like, oh, you should meet, and you did, you know, and all of these things came together. And we're really excited. We have 3 days, 5 events that we're doing over the course of the weekend. Yeah. And we're particularly excited to be bringing Library Lion up to the theater for family audiences on Saturday morning.
I repeat myself, but most of the people who watch this program understand what they're dealing with. It's important, I think, in this day and age, at this particular time and place, to let humanity see humanity. And I don't know if that makes any sense, but to me, it does. I just really think, too, that this unbelievable. I want to just go into the Library Lion. The title itself is intriguing to me. Who came up with it? How did it happen?
Library Lion is one of Time Magazine's bestseller books, all-time bestseller books for children. It's written by author Michelle Knudsen, who lives in Staten Island and was a former librarian herself. And she came up with this story saying that, you know, one day a lion walked into a library, and it kind of rolled from there, and it became a massively successful book, and it got translated to many languages. One of them was Hebrew, and playwright Eli Bijawi from Israel adapted the book into a play that has been massively successful in Israel. It's been running for more than 10 years there. And when we founded Adam Theater, we had a lot of conversations about the type of content that we want to bring forward and, you know, the universal themes that we, you know, understand them to be, you know, stepping stones and keys to understanding humanity. And there's no better place to start than with children, to teach them this language of theater and book loving and, you know, deep, deep content. And Ron knows Ellie from Israel, and he said, well, why don't we do this play? And we bought the rights for the play, and we started working on it. And we walked into the Boston Public Library, and we said, book and a play about a library needs to be in the library. And we found amazing partnership there where, cool. Yeah. You know, it's done as a site specific there. It's at the McKim building.
Well, froze up.
Oh, did we lose you? Oh, no.
They froze up. They may come back.
Yeah, hopefully they'll come back soon.
The whole idea, and let me do this so we all don't get in trouble. The views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department School Committee, the mayor's office, Peter Marchetti, the city council president, Peter White, and or the other people who, I don't know what they do, but they just criticize. They're back. They're back.
Sorry.
Get a little closer together again. You're too good looking a guy. Me, I could do, but you're good looking.
Sorry, I don't know where we dropped. I was, yeah.
Well, you were in the library.
Yeah, we're in the library.
They're great partners.
Yeah. And then through the process, we talked with
David and
Wayne. We actually were recipients of the CJP grant, and they suggested that we talk with Wayne and David. But serendipitously so, as it happens in our community, there was a cousin of David that lives nearby and said, "You got to meet David." So it turned out to be very successful, and we're really proud and happy to, you know, be
part of it.
And this is like our, you know, first getting our theater legs wet for the first time.
Yeah.
Well, let me give you a forewarning. In Pittsfield, everybody's related to somebody. Just be careful. I'm just telling you. Quick war story. A guy was bad mouthing me in a bar, and my cousin was sitting right next to him. So my cousin called me and said, "You know this guy?" I said, "Yeah." "He's bad mouthed the heck out of you and your show." I said, "Oh, well," it was a call-in show at the time. And he called in, and I said, "Hey, I heard you have bad things to say about me." "No, I didn't say nothing." There you go. So you guys, Wayne, how did you guys bring this all together and make it happen? I mean, it's not you. I've been around theater enough to know nothing's easy.
Well, thanks for sharing that. You know what's great about theater people? They get stuff done.
Yes,
and I have to tell you, I am amazed by my colleagues. We have a dramaturg. We're going to present on Friday night a slate of 6 different short plays.
Yes,
because nobody was convinced that we could get Jews to talk for only 10 minutes. So this is it's called Oof on One Foot, and it relates to a famous teaching of Hillel the Elder.
Yeah.
That we've asked people to interpret. In 1 month, we got 275 submissions from around the world.
Whoa.
And our dramaturg, Heather Helinski, put together a group of readers, 18 different readers from all over the country. And we read through them, and we had amazing discussions about what at this moment could relate to people. And as you alluded to earlier, some people just need to laugh a little right now. Yeah. To break the tension, to break, you know, the stress of the moment, to break up the heat. Some people need to see a lion and touch it and pet it and hear it roar. And other people need to open their imaginations to a 1,000-year-old Yiddish-speaking woman who curses in Yiddish and shows up at the door one day. That's opening night. So for us, there's no lack of great ideas. There's no lack of imaginative people, and there's no lack of talent. So the issue of courage is, in a moment that's cloudy and gray and hot, do we hide in our caves and watch Netflix, or do we come together with our discomfort and laugh with each other, cry with each other, hug with each other, dare I say, disagree with one another, but and then have a little bissel of chocolate cake to you know, sort of make it a little sweeter. We want to do all those things. We want to remind people, as you said, humanity needs to see humanity now.
That's right.
The best of humanity.
Yes.
Not duck the hard issues. There will be some content that people will let. So let's sit down and talk about it. That's part of this, too. But first and foremost, let's create great content for our kids, for our elders, for our young people. It's got to be intergenerational. It has to speak to a broad audience, not just a Jewish audience. It has to be in an important historic place like the Colonial Theater, not in a tiny little, you know, afterthought. This is making a statement, and the statement we want to make is that we're open for business.
And just to dovetail that, I agree 100%. We have to come back to humanity as a community, not as individual sects. I read this. And you know, it's really beautiful. I'm not going to try to stand on one foot because I have a hard enough time standing on both feet at my age. But from the Torah, it's the perfect time. Let me just say that to all of you. This is in my opinion, a perfect time for this all to come together in a perfect venue. And I will do everything I can to promote, to fill that place up. Not as much as Kamala, but
We'll see. We really appreciate it, Bill. And we're particularly are interested. You know, the Jewish Place Project's mission is to develop and advocate for work. So we want to get together, look at these pieces, and then see them go on to have big lives around, you know. And so we're really excited that Library Line is going to be with us, because we know it's going on to this great production in Boston. And there's a thread through here that we think is really, we hope is really interesting. Ron, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the thing that we talked about, about your approach to this literature, separate from like the politics of everything that gets under the Israel banner.
Yeah, first of all, our theater is not connected to anything that's called like politics. We are doing a theater for a young audience, and it's not part of our mission
right,
at all.
Right.
We are trying to be focused on. I call it Hebrew culture, that things that coming from Hebrew, not from Judaism and not from Israeli politics or Zionism or things like that, and bring them to the front and trying to decipher my culture and share my culture with more people. This specific book, I feel that is part of actually three cultures. One culture is actually Judaism, that we have an archetype, can I say?
Yeah.
Archetype, sorry. that in the very root, in our roots culture, S.Y. Agmon wrote a story called The Flute, that the kid that came to the synagogue and he didn't know how to read, and he playing the flute, or in another story he
whistles
and people call him go away. And it's actually the same story here, that the lion came to the library and he roared, and people that didn't want him there. Another culture that I feel very close, this story is very close to, is
Christianity,
that Saint Jerome, one of the patron of the libraries, he has a lion, and because that we have connection between libraries and lions, and he has a lion. One day, he actually translated in the 4th century, he translated the Bible from Hebrew to
Latin.
And one day, a lion came to his house, and everyone escaped except him. And he saw that in his paw has a thorn, so he take it out. And from this moment, this lion become his pet. So I feel that when I'm working on a play, I'm trying to find all the roots of the of different culture from the play and to bring it to the front. The third one maybe can be the Greece mythology, when Dionysus, the god of the theater and the wine, came to culture places and trying to do like, you know, like a party, like a extra ecstatic parties, and change the culture or give blood to the vein to the culture. Yeah. So because that we choose this play, because all these connections, and feel that kids deserved high quality art, and trying to show them how in a play you can come across with a lot of cultures and stories.
And if I may just interject this, and these aren't allowed.
No, I think that's another.
These aren't allowed. I know the parents will come with clubs, but that's fine. We're in our school system's in a battle now with cell phones, but I applaud what you're doing, because there's nothing like, in my opinion, there's nothing like a live performance. Nothing. You can watch Netflix over and nothing changes. I go to a lot of performances during the season, during the year. And some I like, so I go back, and it's the third time is a different play. Or I go to a preview night, and then I go to closing night, and I went, wow, has this matured?
Uh-huh.
And I will bet you with your story, it will take on legs of its own. It will grow, and it will become part of a fabric of greater Boston or Massachusetts or New England, and then beyond.
Yeah.
And I mean that. I can feel it.
I think to everybody's point here, we're in a pivotal moment of reset, right? We want to reset a few things. We're post-pandemic, political upheavals. There's a lot of imbalance, and we want to go back to play-based childhood and kind of eradicate the phone-based mentality, and, you know, connecting with eye contact with each other. And I think what David and Wayne are doing, that this is intergenerational, is so crucial. We're creating a cultural satchel for the whole family to go home and discuss the play and talk about it, and, you know, reconnecting in a very meaningful way. And I think theater is one of the most underutilized vehicles in our society to create these moments. And I feel very privileged to do this.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I love that we're talking about all this. And I love that this, you know, bringing Adam and Karen and Ron into the festival gives us this opportunity, particularly to connect with young people and with families. And, you know, and as Wayne is saying, this intergenerational audience, you know, we know that there are many folks who are up in the Berkshires during the summer in sort of multi-generational families. And that's such a great opportunity for people to come and, you know, to share this together, and also to do some things on their own. After the reading on Saturday morning, we're going to do a talk back with some of the adults so that Ron can talk a little bit about his inspirations and where the piece is going. And then the kids are going to get a chance to take some photos with the lion puppet. So, it should be a really fun morning. But, you know, having those connections of people together, and this is something that we're trying to do in the short plays that Wayne was talking about and across the festival, is that one thing that is, I think, a very enjoyable part of a lot of Jewish life is the connection between generations, l'dor v'dor, as we, right?
Like, so, Bill, if you want to take pictures with the lion with the kids instead of participating in the adult discussion that Ron's leading will understand.
Yeah, that's true.
But actually, to Karen's point, I think if this idea of a reset, maybe the tagline would be something like play nicely. You know, that we need to relearn how to play nicely with each other through our differences, through our tensions and challenges that we have at the moment. And that's, again, one of the lessons of Library Lion is that it's not just a kid's play.
Right.
It's a play that is for children, and it has lessons that we hope entire families will learn from and will come and celebrate and teach and discuss. And so we don't think this is a production actually only for kids. We think they need they get the best seats in the house, but the rest of us should be there learning, encouraging, discussing. I mean, as I listened to Ron describe the three different worlds that this play evokes, I feel, you know, that should be an entire. David's a professor of Jewish theater at Cornell. I mean, he could do an entire class on this one play and those three influences and what it means to have audiences experiencing a particular play at a particular moment, but perhaps through three different lenses of time as well as theology.
I think your explanation of the play was brilliant. And I mean that because you did, you bridged what appears as though so many other great efforts have not been able to bridge. And I say that as a compliment to you, and as kind of a criticism to them. I was brought up my next door neighbor was Sam Lenhoff, and my father and Sam got to be very best of friends. So I guess maybe I thank my parents that, you know, I heard somebody say something the other day. Well, you can't, blah, blah, blah. It's how you're brought up. And you guys are starting to change. I really believe that. And other people have. I mean, I hope I brought my son up and he's bringing his kids up.
We will be happy.
Yeah. It has to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to say to be mean, but I'm not seeing a lot of leadership in the world, and I'll leave it at that. We got to take a break. Please stay tuned. There's more interesting stuff to come. I do this. This is my flag. I know a lot of my friends from Vietnam are buried under this flag. A lot of people that I didn't know personally, but some I did. And if you don't believe this flag's important, drive to a cemetery someday and see all these flags waving in the wind. And you'll realize that at some point, every one of those people buried under that flag signed on the dotted line to sacrifice their life for it. So I don't know about the rest of you, but I've had it with hate. I'm an old man. I had a politician one time call me a grumpy old man. And I consider that a high compliment from a politician. But please stay tuned. We can all learn a lot. Definitely get your kiddos ready. Definitely get your kiddos ready to get there and see this show. And you never know. You may see an old fat bald guy in the back with sunglasses on. Right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV, channel 1301. We'll give you all the info when we come back about tickets and everything. Please stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sandrini.com.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we are back, everybody. Yes, it was a little bit prolonged, but that's okay. I do want to say, please stay tuned. We're going to get you the information. It's the Colonial Berkshire Theater Group. Call there for tickets. You can go on. Do it now.
Yes.
Don't wait. Don't think about it, because the time will come and pass. Buy your tickets now. And
yeah. And Bill, you can go to berkshiretheatergroup.org/passes. If you go to /passes, that's you can buy a pass for the whole festival for all 3 days, see everything. Or you can see each of the individual events there and just buy a ticket to one. But we want to see everybody down there. So berkshiretheater.org/passes.
And I encourage you.
I'm sorry, berkshiretheatergroup.org.
And in theater, the European spelling, T-H-E-A.
Yes. Very good.
Sorry. Now, go ahead. I'm sorry. Rand, fill us in on what you're saying.
No, I said that we stopped before the break, that you said about what you feel like outside, you know, like a lot of hate and violence. And I need to say that in... We have a lot of things outside. We have love and people that actually wants to do good in the world and wants to go to the theater. So not everything is so hard. And I feel that the theater that we're trying to bring to the world, trying to be focused on the goods.
It's on the good, and it's been a very kind project, and the people involved in it have been extremely kind, and you know, major philanthropists that kind of look you in the eye and say, like, I believe in you, just go do what you need to do. And like I said, it's a privilege to be around, you know, people that believe and do good and promote it. So I think, you know, it gives us a good infrastructure to build upon. And we feel very lucky to do it in Boston. I know we'll come to the Berkshires more, but we feel very lucky to do it in Boston. I think we have an exceptional theater community here that's been very open and welcoming and supportive of us.
Well, and I we cared about Boston because they seem to forget sometimes we're here.
Mm-hmm. So
like Rochester and Buffalo.
So we will not.
New York City forgets they're there.
We will not forget, and it will come every year.
I hope this is the beginning of. I really do hope that this is a beginning of all of you at the Berkshire Theater Group. I mean that.
Yeah, we're really hoping that that can be the case. We really connected with some great folks in the community up here. And, you know, like you said, like Wayne was saying, like, to be able to do this festival is great, but to be able to do this festival at the Berkshire Theater Group, at the Colonial, at a place that is just so prominent. You know, when we came to visit, we loved seeing on the wall, they have the photo of then First Lady Hillary Clinton rededicating the space, and then the of then First Lady Michelle Obama speaking there, and now this past weekend they had the soon to be
president.
We feel like we're in a great tradition there, and really honored to be in that space. It feels like the
and, great place. And you know, too, I love walking in the back. Have them show you the back conference room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the stars that have been through there. My father remembers, God rest his soul, he's been dead for 40 years, but he told me that he remembers seeing Al Jolson there.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a place of great. You're going to be on a stage that's held some very, very wonderful people through the years.
Absolutely.
David, you want to share some of the stars that we're going to be bringing to add to that list?
Yeah, we're lucky. In addition to Ron and Karen and everybody from Adam Theater, where we our opening show, The Last Yiddish Speaker, which won our National Jewish Playwriting Contest this year, is going to feature Josh Molina from The West Wing and a bunch of other shows. Hearing a bunch of everything else fresh off of he's just was doing Leopoldstadt in New York, and he's leaving after our show to go to London to do a new play by Nathan Englander. So we're really excited to have him. Ella Stiller will be playing the lead role in that. Ella is just graduated from Juilliard and is Jerry's granddaughter, Ben's daughter, in a long line of great actors. So we're thrilled to have her. And Mimi Lieber, who was in the all the original casts of Indecent and a bunch of other stuff that you recognize. So that's going to be a fantastic night. We have some great people who are going to join us for the short play evening, but we don't have all the T's crossed and I's dotted. Tease you to say that there'll be some awesome people for that. And then on Saturday night, after Library Line, our featured presentation on Saturday night is Tony winner Ariel Stachel is doing his solo show Out of Character, which is about his journey growing up as a Yemeni Arab Jew in the United States post 9/11 and all the way up to 10/7. So it's really a fascinating show.
I think not only are they great entertainment, but they're all great history lessons too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a lot
of lessons in morality.
Yeah.
You know, that word, it doesn't get used a lot anymore. It's called morality. It doesn't put moral in. I do want to do this. Tickets, you can call the Berkshire Theater Group, 413-997-4444. And don't procrastinate. You know, I've had more people say, oh, Bill, I should have bought the tickets. I missed. I'll give you one that just ended there. That was Frankenstein. Everybody's talking about it. I was going to. The cemetery is filled with people who would have, could have, should have. So just remember that. Again, I want to get to the formation. How did this start, the Jewish Film Festival Playwright?
So the Jewish Plays Project, I started 13 years ago. We're 13 this year. It's our B'nai Mitzvah year. We're very excited. And it started from an impulse that I was saying, you know, there's a really interesting and diverse and complex Jewish life in the world, but the things that are showing up on stage are very sort of mid-20th century.
Yeah.
You know, American immigrant stories and a lot of Holocaust work, you know, and a lot of Fiddler on the Roof. And all of those things are great. You know, I will watch Fiddler on the Roof at the drop of a hat any day, anytime. But these were things that didn't feel like the contemporary world that we were living in. And I was mainly working in new plays and working with new writers, and I saw that people were writing them. They were writing plays about today's moment, just they weren't getting produced. And I said, okay, we've got to fix that. We've got to fix this pipeline problem to get these plays onto the best stages that we can. And I'm very proud to say one of my favorite stats about the JPP is over our 13 years, we have received and vetted 2,800 plays by about 1,500 writers in 35 states and 10 countries. Have actively developed 60 of those plays, 40 of which have gone on to productions in New York, LA, London, Israel, and around the country. So what we've learned in that time is that there's people want this. There is an audience for this work. There are people who are really interested. And what we found, like with Kate and Berkshire Theater Group, is that for companies that that are not Jewish companies specifically, they want to do contemporary Jewish work, but they don't necessarily, you know, they want to do it well, they want to do it responsibly. And so we end up partnering with a lot of folks to try and make that happen.
And to me, it was a brilliant idea to start it, but it's also a brilliant to keep it going, because you're right. I love Fiddler on the Roof like you, but I can't see it again. I mean, really?
Yeah. And, you know.
Honest to God, if I've seen it, I've probably seen it here in the Berkshires at least 3 times.
Right.
In New York at least 2x. And I'm, you know, I could probably play the part, but I don't look it.
Yeah.
Wayne, give us a little of your background.
Sure. So I first learned about the Jewish Play Project by being a judge when I was living in the D.C. area for this contest that we're going to share this year's national winner. And I was so intrigued because it was at the same time that I was starting my own sort of playwriting journey, and excited with the idea that there were stories beyond Fiddler that not only could be told, but needed to be told.
Yeah.
So we were talking, you and I, we were talking earlier about the On One Foot panel of discussion of the slate of plays, of 6 different plays. Some are written by 20-year-olds. Some are written by 70-plus-year-olds. Some are written and set in Havana. Some are set in space. So the diversity of the stories and the complexity of the Jewish world today is something that we think people are going to enjoy exploring and discovering. So I promise anyone that comes on that Friday night is going to hear stories they have not heard before. And they're going to love some. They're going to cry at some. They're going to be confused by at least one. All of those range of responses, in my mind, are healthy and needed and a part of what theater can do now. We can challenge. We're not going to say, here is the world. It's black and white. Take it or leave it. Instead, we're going to say, here is a smorgasbord. Here's what people are, here's a range of emotions that you may be feeling at the moment. And we want you to know that there are other people feeling those moments. And some of them are sitting next to you and are total strangers. Come talk to them after the performance. Come meet the people who wrote or directed or performed. We're really going to break that barrier. We're going to have opportunities for everyone to meet the other theater artists. And also on Saturday afternoon, we're going to have something that my organization that's partnered with the JPP plays together, an opportunity to just read scripts together and discuss them. Because we think there needs to be an opportunity for full participation of all, you know, of the audience who want that. Not everybody wants it. Some people want to come for a show. They want to clap, go home. Other people want to hang around and talk to people. Hey, what was it that just we saw on stage? And why was that lion roaring at that point? We want to give people multiple opportunities to stay and to play.
And just a quick to agree with that and encourage the people to stay. Some of the best talkbacks, plays I've seen have had talkbacks after them. And that's another learning experience for people.
Bill, on that, since as long as we're pitching stuff, as long as we're plugging ourselves, Friday morning on the 16th, We are doing, we're collaborating with the Jewish Federation of the Berkshires on their Nosh and Knowledge series of talks. And we're doing a panel discussion on making 21st century Jewish theater and the, you know, challenges and opportunities. And it's going to be, the panel is going to be Annette Miller, who is an actor up in the Berkshires that folks probably know well from Golda's Balcony at Shakespeare. And Alexandra Aaron, who's a director from New York City, who just had a fantastic production of The King of the Jews in New York last season and is going to be doing a new play called The Mulberry Tree next season. And Alexa Derman, a really, really exciting young playwright that won our National Playwriting Contest last year. And the three of them are going to have a really fascinating conversation and Q&A with the audience. So 10:45 at the Colonial on Friday morning.
That and I was just looking on the list of stuff that I had received. That to me, again, is an educational piece, and like going down to the line in the library. Are you going to do a little talk back after, other than the pictures, with me?
Yeah, we anticipate to respond to it. I think it's very exciting for people to see how things come to life, right? And it's not just the play itself, but also building a new theater, talking about Hebrew culture and what it means to, you know, to understand that, you know, it's not necessarily in Hebrew. Why is it not in Hebrew? And what's the challenges that poses, and what's the opportunities that it creates? Because the sense is, as an Israeli that was born as a non-Jew Israeli, for me, Hebrew culture is first and foremost a secular culture and something that I lean upon, and, you know, completely bilingual. I can read in both languages, but I'm always drawn to the concepts and ideas and the deep thinking that I find within, you know, my culture, which is the Hebrew culture. And it's something that has been siloed for many years because of the language barrier. And I think one of our challenges in the diaspora and in Israel is the communication between us. And I think this creates a huge opportunity for all of us to relearn together a new language for all of us to use moving forward. So I think that's one of the things that really was the base of like why we started Adam Theater, of how to bring this culture forward. And it's the same way as you would read Chekhov. You wouldn't necessarily think it's a political Russian, you know, play, and you don't associate it immediately with Putin, right? So we just want, you know, other positive associations for our culture, and also to put it in front of mainstream America. And I think there's nothing more beautiful than having other participants from our community that are not Jewish in what we do and celebrating it together.
I call that breaking down barriers. As a Roman Catholic, and I was an altar boy, so just remember that, I knew a little bit of Latin. I didn't know what it was, but I repeated it. Mm-hmm. Okay. And when the church opened the door and put Latin aside and went to your native language, it was a whole new experience for so many people. It just wasn't rote. So I I am agreeing, I think, with what you're saying. This whole effort, to me, will make the world, and that's all of you, this is directed to all of you. I hope and pray that this will make the world a better, more understanding place. I come from a very different background than you all, and I'm realizing there are people that will always hate, they'll always be bad, but there are people who, given the opportunity, I believe, I've seen it in South Africa and other countries I've been in, people can change and will change. And that's why I'm so, let me say this before I forget, because, you know, at my age, I forget. Keep me on your press release list, even though you're in Boston and elsewhere, because people in Pittsfield will go to Boston. People in Pittsfield will jump on the train and go to New York. I mean, we've done it.
That's just great.
So all of you, please keep me, and I will announce stuff. I do announcements at the end of the program. And for the listeners and viewers, we're going to give you the dates, and please take advantage of this. This is a learning, learning entertaining experience. You guys can use it anywhere.
Absolutely. So August 15th to 17th at the Colonial in Pittsfield, BerkshireTheaterGroup.org/passes. We really would love, we want to meet everybody in the community. We want to be at the bar where people are trash talking you, Bill. We want to be all those places and get to know you all and really enjoy enjoy this connection through the theater for 3 days in August. It's going to be amazing.
It will be, and it will be, in my opinion, enlightening. I really believe that with my whole heart. By the way, while you're all here, I want you to go to Patrick's Pub.
Okay.
It's right around the corner from the Colonial. And tell Mr. John McNish that that ought to either get you a free drink or thrown out. It all depends.
You can leave your kids and go to the bar.
Yeah. Well, the bar doesn't open that early, but you don't leave your kids. I can't thank you enough for coming on. Please, I mean it sincerely. Please keep me on your press list. Send me your announcements. I read. I said, boy, they must have messed that up. I can't thank you enough, Wayne. You continue the playwriting. It really and truly, I think it's a gift. I know a lot of playwrights, and it's really it really is a gift, and I think people should take advantage of it.
Right.
So I always do this. Please don't take offense. My audience and my friends, God bless. I know some of you don't like that, but it's my show. And today, make somebody laugh and do something for somebody other than yourself. Really and truly. It'll make you feel better. Honest. I got a couple of, you guys can go. I got a couple of announcements. You don't have to if you don't want to. But if I don't read these, they yell at me. They yell at me anyhow. But you have to see Shakespeare and Company, Flight of the Monarch. I interviewed them yesterday. Corinna May, Alan Burroughs, Shakespeare and Company. I want to tell you, you got to see this. It's going to be great. Here's the great part for people my age and younger and older. Matinees only. How's that? Pretty cool, huh? Also, this is a really important thing. I just met with the lady who helped organize it. It's called Memory Cafe. It meets the third Wednesday of every month for people who are suffering from dementia or Alzheimer's and their caregivers. And it's a great time to come together. It's a nice group. It's a social group for caregivers and people with mild cognitive impairment or memory loss. It's at the Senior Center on Ralph Ryo Senior Center. You'll have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time. Also, I do want to tell you, too, the Berkshire Historical Society, they're doing a lot of really cool things. Check in with them over the summer. You can do that by going MobyDick.org. See that? You got to get, well, you're up here. Don't just hang around downtown. Get up and see where Melville woke up in the morning and saw a whale. Then I found out he woke up every morning and had a little shot of brandy, so I will too. But anyhow, thank you all. Be well. Best of luck. Break a leg. All those.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
Just remember, the fat bald guy in the back clapping is me.
Can't wait to meet you.
Bye-bye. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.